In a stadium rich with tradition, the lights shine the brightest. This is The Camp. Now, here's your host, Zach Heilprin, on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Yes, welcome into The Camp here on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network. I'm Zach Heilprin. He's Jesse Temple. Well, I wasn't expecting to have Jesse back until middle of July, but there's just too much news to go around here that I can't fully grasp it and talk about it without having him give some of his input into it. So we've got a packed show coming up a little bit later. Going to be talking with Skylar Bell, a three-star wide receiver out of Connecticut, who's going to be coming on campus here in the next week or so. But the two big main items of importance here for our cases is Chris McIntosh being named the athletic director at Wisconsin, and also Ches Belusi announcing that he is going to transfer to Wisconsin, a running back from Clemson. We'll get into both those, but we'll start, Jesse, I think, with the big one, and that is Chris McIntosh being the new athletic director of Wisconsin, replacing Barry Alvarez. I don't know if it's a huge surprise. I think a lot of people on the outside of it, at least, thought that this was the way it was going to go. Now, there were some other candidates involved, but Chris McIntosh, former Badger, has been with the UW Athletic Department since 2014, the deputy AD since 2017, and a guy that Barry Alvarez really wanted to have the job, now has it.
Yeah, I certainly can't say I'm surprised. I did wonder when we had an opportunity to talk to Chancellor Rebecca Blank on Zoom, initially when they started discussing how they would go about filling Barry Alvarez's role, she made it clear that this was going to be a national search, and ultimately she was going to be the one who decided who the next AD was going to be. Now, Pete Miller was in charge of the committee, and there were some other people like Paul Crist and Orlando Tucker who were on that committee. We're going to present the candidates to her, and then she would decide. But I think Barry Alvarez hinted at this when he was asked about McIntosh and just the process in general when he had his retirement ceremony. He said something to the effect, if I'm not mistaken, of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think there's something to be said for that. The Wisconsin Athletics Director role is a unique position. You have to understand the university, and certainly you could say that for a lot of other places, but what has happened in the last 30 years or so is it's obviously transformational, and to have someone who's familiar with that, who was a part of the turnaround as an incredible offensive lineman and who's been groomed by Barry the last few years, it just makes sense to keep what they've been doing well going for longer.
And it kind of felt like that was the main – I don't know the main reason he got the job, but certainly Rebecca Blank talked about it and saying that we have a certain way of doing things here. And apparently that was hammered home to her over and over and over again the last 2 months. And she said some people use different language to get that across to her. So people were obviously very supportive of Chris McIntosh. Barry Alvarez, was this a guy getting to name his successor twice in a row?
I'll say that Barry put Chris in the best position to earn the job, certainly, by basically making him the next in line. But based on what Rebecca Blank had said previously, Barry was not going to be, he wasn't on the committee. He didn't have the final say. Certainly his what he's done over the last 30 years looms large over the athletics department and the football program as well. But I would like to think that no, this had to do with the committee and this had to do with Blank. But on the other hand, I mean, what he did can't be ignored. And the fact that McIntosh was his guy, I don't think can be ignored either.
No. And I think from an outside perspective, especially from a national perspective, it's going to be like, all right, well, Barry got his guy.
Right.
I do think that they went through this process. They had, I think it was 35 or 36 applicants that came through. Now, maybe that seems like I know Jim Polzin was asked during the press conference, you know, kind of seemed like a small number. And did they think that they were potentially going to have more people? And because of maybe the outside perspective that Chris McIntosh was going to be the guy and there was really no doubt about it, maybe tamped down the number of applications. But it's also possible that there just aren't as many people capable of taking over this job. You know what I mean? Like the type of people, the type of resume, the type of background, there's not a whole lot of people capable of actually doing it. And so, you know, maybe 35 isn't that small of a number after all.
Well, we heard some names that emerged and there were clearly a bunch of qualified candidates, and a couple others were Beth Getz, who's the athletics director at Ball State, was another name, and Sean Frazier, who's at Northern Illinois, who had ties to Wisconsin. So I don't think it's like McIntosh was handed the job by default. I mean, I do think there's something to be said for the fact that nobody knows the inner workings of the athletics department at Wisconsin as currently constructed better than McIntosh. And I think that goes a long way, as well as having Barry's backing and the knowledge that he does have of the athletics department and the university as a whole. So, you know, time will tell on whether it was a good hire, because he's going to have a lot of big decisions to make, hires to make in the future. But I think that, you know, this was what Wisconsin needed to do to kind of keep the train rolling from what the athletics department has done the last couple of decades.
And it's interesting, the timing that he walks into this, and he's been here obviously now 7 years and in his current role since 2017. So he's been at the top of these decision makings, but the change that has happened since 2014, you know, as a college athlete, and they talked about it today, and they talked about how it's going to evolve even more so here in these next 5 to 10 years, what Pat Richter walked into and then what Barry Alvarez took over in 2004 were different situations than what Chris McIntosh is going to walk into. I think Pat Richter walked into a more difficult situation than Chris McIntosh is walking into right now. But I feel like this is not as easy as like an autopilot. You know what I mean? Like some people have just promote Chris McIntosh, put on autopilot and just go. And I don't like, that's not the decision you can make in this situation. That the area or the challenges they're going to face here in the next few years, even the next few months, are immense compared to what they've dealt with, even with COVID. Like COVID was a good, I guess, not even a trial, because it was extremely difficult, and the money and everything that was at stake was extremely difficult to deal with. And McIntosh had a huge role in it. But what they're going to have to deal with, name, image, likeness, and some of the other things that are coming down the road, I think are going to be just as difficult, if not more difficult, to deal with than anything that Barry faced during his tenure.
It's a different landscape in college athletics, and it continues to evolve and move more in the direction of the athletes. And that's why the name, image, likeness is such a big thing, and compensation for them and potential endorsement opportunities. And yeah, it's three different circumstances with Richter. I mean, obviously when he took over, and when Barry got there, we know all the stories that the athletic department was in debt, that they had to cut sports. You know, that's about as dire, I think, as it's been in terms of the athletic department as a whole. And by the time Barry took over, they were on much more solid footing. He had got the football program to being one of the more consistent Big Ten powers. And now they've taken that to, I think, another level in football, and basketball has been consistent. And we know those are the two sports that generally drive the revenue. Hockey does as well, but those two for the most part do. But I think a lot of it has to do with like some of the things you were saying, just like the name, image, likeness, and the different things that are changing here. And as we move forward, and I'll be interested to see what he's able to do in that role, because he's been involved, but he hasn't been the go-to guy who's had to make every decision and who represents the athletics department. And we know down the road, there's going to be coaching decisions that you have to make as well. And what direction does he decide to go, and what does he value in those situations? Because ultimately, I think when you look at an athletic director, oftentimes I feel like they're judged on the coaching decisions, because those are the people who represent the programs that people are so passionate about that drive revenue, even though it may not happen necessarily in football and basketball in the foreseeable future, because it would appear that Paul Christ and Greg Gard are in it for the long haul, being Wisconsin guys.
What is the biggest question in your mind when it comes to Chris McIntosh as the next athletic director?
Well, I think it's just what it looks like when he's the chief decision maker. And I just talked about that before. He'd been put in position to be groomed for this role, and he's had some important opportunities in the last few years, but it's different when you're the guy and all eyes are on you. And just kind of what the decision process will be for the big things that come up as an athletic department that maybe we don't even foresee right now. Are there things that you are curious to see with him as the athletics director?
Well, I mean, it's what was Barry Alvarez as the athletic director? We all know that some of the decisions he had to make, and some of the coaching hires he had to make, and some of the things that he would have liked to have had back, and that type of stuff. But it was also, it is about being a face of a department. And, you know, even though Paul Christ and before him, Gary Anderson, and before him, Brett Bielema, even on the basketball side with Greg Gard, and before, you know, with Bo Ryan, no matter who the coaches were, the most high profile programs, Barry Alvarez was still the face of Wisconsin athletics. And I don't envision that being Chris McIntosh. And he knows himself, like, that's not who he is. He even said it today. He said, you know, Barry is the definition of swagger, and that's not me. I'm comfortable in who I am, but it's going to be different. It's going to be, you know, who, he's no longer like Chris McIntosh. I don't think he's going to be the face of UW athletics. And so I think there's a bit of a transition there. And can he get people as excited as Barry does? I don't know if that is possible just because of who Barry is. So that would be my biggest question. Are people going to continue to be excited about giving their money to Wisconsin? And really, and to be fair about everything, if they win, they will, no matter what. But if things don't go well, then I think it becomes more difficult.
Yeah, I think it is important to note that, I mean, he obviously has a lot of business experience, and I think that does come in handy. He oversaw when the school moved from Adidas to Under Armour several years back. He oversaw that part of it, and, you know, he worked in the private sector before that. And those, I think, are going to come in handy. You have to certainly be personable, and you have to be able to get people to reach into their wallets. And I'm with you, though. It is going to be different because of what Barry did as the football coach. He carried this aura about him when he was the athletics director, and it's just going to be different. You know, if you're, even though McIntosh wasn't an All-American offensive lineman, he's not the one who's single-handedly responsible the most for turning around the program and the athletics department. And so there's just, I think, a different viewpoint of who he is as a person and the reverence that people have for him, because Barry is in a class all his own. Now, that doesn't mean McIntosh can't do a great job. Certainly the people who hired him believe that he will. It's just going to be very different.
I will say this. One thing for Chris McIntosh, I personally am now sold on him because
yes,
during
I knew this was coming
during his speech, he talked about these great moments in Wisconsin athletics history. And he mentioned a whole bunch of things. And he goes, and when Ron broke the record, a record that, in my opinion, he still holds. And I think people here think he still holds. That's not word for word, but it was like, all right. Yep. All right. Chris McIntosh, seal of approval right there from me, from Zach Heilprin. He wasn't looking for it, but he's got it.
As soon as I heard him say that, I knew that you were going to bring this up. I know that McIntosh has been adamant about this for a long time. I actually remember talking to him about it back when I wrote a story. It was to commemorate like the 20-year anniversary of when Ron broke the record. So it was a story about Ron's career. And then I did a second story where everybody was talking about how it was total BS that he didn't have the record. And this is actually what he said, is that I really struggle with the lack of willingness to acknowledge the rushing yards that he had in those bowl games, and that it's indisputable, and that he's still upset about it to this day. So I knew that was going to bring a smile to your face.
It did. And I had to post a video right away. Cause it's, yeah. Hey, me and Chris McIntosh on the same page in that respect. But he's got a huge job in front of him, and coming into a situation where there are so many unknowns, but because of who he's replacing, not just Barry, but then previous to him, Pat Richter, the last 30 years as the AD, two of the more revered figures in Wisconsin athletics history. I mean, heck, to get to his office, he has to walk past their statues, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but he's a Wisconsin kid through and through, grew up here, came back to work here, and now is the Wisconsin athletic director. So that was the one big news story. And then the other big news story was the acquisition. Can we call it an acquisition? I mean, it's essentially
free agency pickup. It's essentially free agency.
It is. So the acquisition of Ches Malusi, the transfer running back from Clemson, came on his official visit on Tuesday and committed Tuesday night. It's a big get for Wisconsin. He doesn't have a ton of experience. I mean, he's got 427 yards rushing, but that 427 yards rushing at Clemson is more than the rest of the running back room at Wisconsin combined. How big of a get is this to bring him into the program?
I think this is a huge deal for Wisconsin's running back room, simply because of how many question marks there were about the group as a whole and the complete lack of experience in the group. You look at the numbers, you mentioned it, they don't blow you away, but he's got 71 carries. He's got 2 years playing in Clemson's system, and that automatically means he is now the most experienced running back in the room. I'm talking about running backs. John Schnell, as a fullback, has a lot of experience, but for a guy who's going to get potentially a significant number of carries, Malusi now vaults to the top in terms of experience. And I'm really interested to see Jalen Berger now and Malusi, can they be a 1-2 combo that Wisconsin uses? I think this is the type of group where you're not necessarily going to have the one bell cow, just because while Jalen could be that in the future, we've talked about it before, he only played in 4 games as a true freshman last year. He never carried more than 15 times. So is he somebody that they can just hand the ball to 25 plus times? I don't know yet. And the other thing now is there's going to be 8 scholarship running backs in the room. And it makes me wonder if ultimately someone's going to wind up going to a different position. Cause that was my other thought. And while we're talking about Malusi, since the last time we had a show, you know, Braylon Allen is now coming in as a running back, which I think is fascinating. Just a pure athlete who was going to be a safety, but he was so big that it looked like maybe he could be a linebacker, but there's probably more opportunity at running back. He was fantastic, just dominating the high schoolers in the spring season. So I wonder what that's going to look like, because now you've got 4 true freshman running backs coming into someone like Jackson Aker wind up going to fullback. But with Malusi, I can't overstate how big this is, I think, for Wisconsin's running back group immediately, because he can come in, you can plug him in, and he can play.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's a – look, he was behind some pretty good running backs at Clemson, including Travis Etienne, who ended up going in the first round. So it's a big addition there. And you're right, the other running backs in the room, you know, you bring in 5 – you're adding 5 guys to that running back group. You only lost 2, I guess, if, you know, in Garrett Groshek and Nakia Watson, right? And then obviously with Mason Stocky as well, but you're bringing in 5, and that has to just be like an eye opener if you're a Isaac Garendo or a Julius Davis, right? Like, you already knew it was going to be 3 when you signed that class last December, but then you've since now moved Braylon Allen to running back, and you've gone out and gotten another guy in the transfer portal. I mean, this is do or die time for those guys, is it not?
Oh, it's absolute make or break for both those guys. And I think I've said this before, because if you have a freshman that comes in, or even Malusi, who's got multiple years of eligibility left, assuming that Berger is going to be the number one guy, maybe number two if Malusi is number one, there's not much opportunity left after that. You get passed by and you've already had a few years in the program. Now, I think certainly if Garendo is healthy, he will be a contributor. But that's the big question, as we've discussed, the hamstring issue. And because of his hamstring issues and because of Julius Davis's injury plagued history, that was a big reason, like I mentioned before when I talked to John Settle, that they went with 3 scholarship running backs in the class as essentially an insurance policy, because they couldn't know for certain that everybody that they already have on the roster was going to be healthy. And if you lose those 2, then what are you left with? Well, they've certainly done a lot to make up for that. And with Braylon Allen, The talent is incredible, but he's going to be 17 years old. So I don't know if it's going to happen right away. And it's not like he's got a ton of running back experience, but if you hone that talent, he's chiseled, he's physical, he's fast. It could be really exciting with him in the future.
It could be. It's an interesting room. That's for sure. And you're right. It's a big month now. Obviously, Malusi came in here on his official visit this week. A huge weekend. I talked about it with John McNamara in last week's podcast. If you want to go back and listen to it, you certainly can. It's a huge weekend for some of the state guys, some of the big state guys coming in this weekend. And then in a couple of weeks as well, June is a huge month. And I think you could say it didn't. Obviously, the Malusi news is great, but there was at least one other news item that wasn't so great, and that was the revelation that Saeed Khalif, the director of player personnel, who has been at the, I'd say, the forefront of really turning Wisconsin from, you know, really increasing Wisconsin's recruiting rankings and their ability to bring highly rated classes to Wisconsin. I know you've spoken to him normal times. You went inside that process with him. How big of a loss is this for Wisconsin?
I think it's a pretty big loss. That's not to say they can't bring somebody in who can do some of the same things, but the proof is in the pudding. And he spearheaded the charge here to get Wisconsin to a different level in recruiting. And the coaches deserve a lot of credit too, no doubt about it. And the program does, and the players, for selling that to people. But when I talked to Saeed, he talked about when he came to Wisconsin, he didn't have a history in this state. He went to Georgia Tech. He didn't know much about Wisconsin, but realized what he could sell to out-of-state prospects, that if you give Wisconsin a chance, if you come here, if you see what we're all about, we work hard, you can be a part of something special. And he has talked multiple times about the fact that he saw how Wisconsin built the program. Anybody who's listening understands that it was sort of built on the backs of those walk-ons, those three stars, or at least that's the narrative. But in a lot of cases, it's true. The guys that maybe weren't ready right away, but 3, 4, 5 years in were every bit as good as anybody else in the Big Ten. And it was a very intentional process to start to try to elevate the starting point. And he said it, that what if we went out and got those more highly rated guys, but we maintained the standard and the expectation here, where you're still going to have to fit into this culture. You're still going to have to be that lunch pail type of guy that's willing to work hard, not those prima donna five-star guys who don't want to work. And we started to see that. And obviously it's been discussed in all over the place, but you look at the last three classes, they broke into the top 30 in the 24/7 sports composite for the first time in the online ranking era in 2019 with that Graham Mertz, Logan Brown class. They were 29th. Then they were 26th in 2020. And this 2021 class took it to a whole nother level. They're in the top 20 with a lot of 4 and 5 star guys. And Khalif deserves a ton of credit because of his ability to identify prospects. And he talked about when I met with him that he had a recruiting database that he basically came up with, and he started working on it at Georgia Tech. He said it was with some eggheads from Georgia Tech, and this database allowed him to pare down and use a grading system to filter exactly what he thought that Wisconsin needed. And it certainly worked, and he's personable. And I think that's a really good combination. And a lot of recruits had talked about how valuable he was throughout that recruiting process. So that all that is to say, I think it's a pretty significant loss. But I'm really interested to see what Wisconsin is able to do with whoever comes in next, because this is an extremely challenging time, I think, clearly, with this 2022 class, that as we're talking, there's one committed prospect who you spoke to recently as well, the in-state quarterback, Miles Burkett. And everything's going to be happening at breakneck speed here. Now that the dead period has been lifted and people can visit, I expect June and July to be some of the most important months in recruiting that we've seen in a long, long time at Wisconsin.
Does it make it more concerning that he's staying within the Big Ten? Like, and that's and obviously a year after you lose a wide receiver coach to Michigan State as well. I guess concern isn't the great word. I mean, does it hurt more? I mean, I like, it doesn't. You're Wisconsin. You've had how much success, and you're losing coaches to a team and to a university that has had a rough few years, I think would be saying it nicely.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much the financial considerations were at play here, obviously. I certainly think they would be. But Michigan State and Wisconsin do recruit trying to get the same players. And we've seen Wisconsin go into Michigan and get guys. And so that's where I think it's going to be most interesting is when Michigan State and Wisconsin are competing head-to-head for a prospect. How much will Khalif's influence now at Michigan State make a difference? Ultimately, I don't know how many players out there are going to pick a school based solely on a recruiting coordinator or a director of player personnel. I don't think there's a lot of instances, but that's the first point of contact for a lot of these prospects. And so that's how you get your foot in the door, especially at a place like Wisconsin with these out-of-state prospects who may not have considered Wisconsin or wouldn't have thought about visiting. And then that's where I think it's going to be most interesting is when those schools go head-to-head.
Yeah, no doubt. And also Mackenzie, Zanow, am I saying that correctly? She was the director of on-campus recruiting. She's going to Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's a very good progression, I think, in a career. And there's been more turnover this offseason as a whole than I can remember in a long, long time, certainly in the Paul Christ era. And obviously that goes to the assistant coaches as well, with three different assistants leaving and obviously Paul Christ taking over the play calling duties. You know, I certainly think Wisconsin is still well positioned for the future, but there are some differences that are taking place. And you know, I think that the staff as a whole and the recruiting personnel has their work cut out for them to keep this train rolling. Cause I think they had gotten to a point where you started to wonder, can Wisconsin consistently be a top 20 program in recruiting? Cause I think that's one of the things that people think could make the difference in Wisconsin potentially getting over that hump and getting to the next level. But right now it's going to take an awful lot to maintain that.
It is, and it's going to start this month because it is, as you mentioned, a huge month. We've talked about it with John. They only have one commit right now, but it could be a much different story by the end of this month, and it's not going to be as nearly as big of a class as in previous years. So we'll see how it plays out. It's a huge June for sure. All right. Want to get into our interview here coming up with Skylar Bell, the 3-star wide receiver out of Connecticut. We do welcome in a special guest here on the camp. It is Skylar Bell, wide receiver recruit for Wisconsin, coming in here in the class of 2021. Going to be arriving in Madison very soon. Do you have a smile on your face for that that opportunity to get to Madison again?
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to finally, get out there, meet the guys, and, get to work.
So you're from the Bronx, right? Madison, yeah. To be fair, slightly different environment.
Yeah.
What did you like about when you came? I know you came on your unofficial visit last year. What did you like about it?
I like the, just the camaraderie of the city. Everybody seemed like they're all about the Badgers. Great people. Great city. Got a lot going on. Got the lakes. It's beautiful out there. It helps that Wisconsin's a great school academically, and then, a top program football nationally. So it seemed like the perfect fit for me.
It's a little weird process, though, not being able to go through the football facilities, not get to meet the coaches. And that wasn't just Wisconsin. It was everywhere, you kind of visited. Was that a little bit difficult going through that process?
Yeah, I would say it made the decision a little bit harder to some extent, because, I couldn't really get build that relationship, that in-person relationship with the coaches. I couldn't see the facilities. I couldn't see the stadium. I couldn't see the locker rooms. I couldn't, it made it a little bit harder. But then again, I will say when it came down to the end, it really showed who was kept in contact with me. Those were the schools that, meant a lot and stayed through the process. Because, like I said, we weren't able to see each other in person. So whoever was, checking in on me, making sure, checking in on my family and things like that, those little things stuck with me.
It hasn't always been easy for Wisconsin to recruit wide receivers because of its reputation as a running school. How did you get past the idea that it's only run here?
That's actually funny. I was talking to Coach Whitted. He sold it to me. He said, in order to throw the ball, you got to bring in studs to throw the ball to. And he said, we want you to be one of those guys. And, we want you to come in here and, work and make plays for us so that we can throw the ball and we're not known as a one-dimensional team. So, that really sold me. And he said, you got to come in here and work and, earn your keep. And hopefully, I could do that and get on the field soon.
Now, I'll get to that in a minute, because it is an interesting wide receiver room just because of some of the different faces and the different type of talent in there, the different experience level in there too. But before we get there, I just want to ask, how would you describe your game? What are some of your strengths? What are some of your weaknesses that you think you need to get better at?
I would say I'll go with my weaknesses first. I'll say my weaknesses right now is, going up against, bigger corners, the corners in my league aren't necessarily the strongest in terms of, push-pull force. So I would say things like that. And then, my biggest strength to me is, my athleticism, being able to, stack and get by defenders. My releases have improved at the line of scrimmage. My route running has improved. And I think my biggest asset, me personally, is, at my size, the 6'1" range, I can go up and make plays against, bigger corners, and I can go up and, win 50-50 balls.
Do you feel like you are a downfield threat? I was reading some things about you, and like that's kind of how you were described. Do you view yourself in that respect?
Yeah, I would see myself as a deep threat guy, but when need be, I like to get in space and make people miss too.
For sure. Again, we'll go back to the wide receiver room part of it. You got it's a little crowded at the moment with Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor and Jack Dunn all using their using the waiver for that extra season. Obviously, Chimre, DK played a bunch last year, and there's some other talented young guys there. But do you have any goals or expectations for this fall coming in right away?
I talked to, my guy, my roommate Marcus, the other receiver coming in, and, we want to get on the field. We want to help the team win. We want to help the team win games. And however we do that, if that's, getting in plays here and there, a couple snaps every couple of drives, you know, things like that. We just want to get on the field and help us win. And, you know, we keep doing that. We earn our respect so that, you know, the coaching staff could, you know, put more trust in us and, you know, put more on our plate and, you know, help us get on the field a little bit more.
What were some of those conversations with the coaching staff about, you know, potentially not even just early playing time, but, you know, what you could bring to the table?
You know, they were long, you know, they like my game, you know, they like what I can do. They see a lot of potential. Coach Whitted sees a lot of potential. And he thinks, you know, I could help change, you know, the narrative of that Wisconsin, you know, run. And, you know, he wants me to do that. He thinks that I could take the top off of the defense, you know, on, you know, deep routes. I could, you know, get in space and make people miss. And, you know, just bring an extra, you know, that extra dimension to the receiver room.
I was going to ask, you know, kind of about big picture recruiting class wise in that respect, in you know, and taking the top off of expectations for this program. You know, Wisconsin's always been lauded for their ability to recruit and develop guys that, you know, potentially turning lower rated guys into really good players. Obviously the recruiting rankings are what they are. They aren't the be all end all. They don't, you know, they don't mean anything once you get to school, but you're part of the highest rated recruiting class in Wisconsin history. What does that mean to you guys as a class? And do you think it's a class that can push UW over the top after coming so close to, you know, winning Big Ten titles and getting into the college football playoff?
Yeah. You know, we talk every day. We have high expectations for ourselves. Like you said, we are the highest rated class in Wisconsin history. We want to live up to that expectation. You know, we're looking to come in, help make plays. And, you know, like you said, help us win games, win championships, and hopefully get into that college football playoff, because, you know, that's the goal. You want to win a national championship. You know, everybody on our team wants to win a national championship. And, you know, our guys are, you know, the incoming freshmen from this class, you know, we all have that same mindset. We all have that dog mindset. And, you know, we're just trying to – we're trying to put Wisconsin over the top. We're trying to get that national championship back to Madison.
You know, when you commit to Wisconsin, you get thrown into a group chat, right? Like a Snapchat group chat. What are some of those group chats like? Is it just a bunch of trash talking, good-natured barbs? Like, what are those like?
It's, you know, it's a little bit of everything. You know, sometimes, you know, you know, we're all cool now. We got to know each other really well throughout these last few months. So, you know, we make jokes with each other. You know, we'll play video games together. You know, sometimes we'll just talk about, you know, the games on, you know, the NBA games, things like that. You know, but it's all around, we're just good guys. You know, we all gel, which is good. There's no bad apples. Everybody, you know, everybody's trying to grind. Everybody's trying to compete. You know, we all get along just fine.
Have you met any of these guys in person yet?
I've actually met TJ. I've met TJ Bowlers. I went to his going away party out in Iowa. I was out there for a little bit. I got to meet him, but other than that, no, I haven't met anybody.
is that weird though? Like you know each other so well, but you don't know each other so well, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird experience. You know, I talked to I probably talked to DP and Marcus the most. You know, we were talking just yesterday and we were like, it's crazy. Like, I feel like we best friends, like we're super close, like we locked in, but I haven't even met you guys yet. So I can't wait to, you know, really just get that real connection, get that, you know, that bond, really get that bond bigger.
When I assume you've watched plenty of Marcus on tape, right? Like just his highlights and that type of stuff. Can you give me a scouting report on what Wisconsin's getting in him?
He's a dog. He's a dog out there, you know. 6'2", 6'3", 205, can run. He can go up and get balls. He's physical. You know, he's going to be a stud. And, you know, I can't wait. I think we're going to give – I think, you know, for time coming, I think we're going to give a lot of defensives some fits.
What kind of conversations did you have with Graham Mertz? I went back and was reading some of the tweets from around signing day, and he had mentioned that he had texted you guys and that he had told you to be ready. What have some of the conversations with him been? And obviously there's so much excitement about, you know, what he was able to do in his first year as a starter. There were some ups, there were some downs, but there's a lot of excitement there with him.
Yeah. I was actually just talking to Graham a couple of days ago. I hit him up asking, you know, just letting him know that I'm ready to get out there. You know, it was 2 weeks to 2 weeks. Actually now it's only, you know, just over a week until we get out there. So, You know, we talk every now and then. You know, he just tells me, be ready, stay in the playbook. And when you get here, you know, we'll get out. Me and Marcus and Graham, we're going to challenge ourselves to 10,000 passes this summer to try to get that execution in the receiver room. Things like that. And he just, you know, he told me and Marcus, you know, be ready. You know, we want you guys to come in and make an impact. You know, meet with Coach Whitted, get the playbook down, and just keep learning and keep growing as you go.
So you obviously grew up in the Bronx, but you went to school in the Taft School, which is about what, like 90 miles
north? Yeah, about 90 miles north. Yeah. About,
in Connecticut. Do you think you have a little bit of advantage having been away from home, you know, and living away from home, and now you're kind of, it's a little bit further, but do you think you have a little bit of advantage? There's not going to be like a huge adjustment period, you know, being away from family as much.
Yeah, I definitely think that'll be one thing that I won't have any trouble with. You know, I've been living on my own since I was in eighth grade. I went to boarding school, you know, when I was 14. So, you know, living on my own hasn't really been, you know, a problem for me. So going to college is going to be the biggest adjustment for me is going to be the football aspect. Other than that, you know, I'm ready. You know, moving in is going to be fun. I'm going to say bye to my parents. It's going to be a little sad because, you know, I won't see them definitely as much because, you know, it's not as close anymore. It's not only an hour drive. It's, you know, 13-hour drive. So, you know, that's going to be a little sad. But other than that, I don't think it's going to be a big adjustment there.
Are you driving out or are you flying out?
Most likely I'll be flying out. But I think my parents might be driving. I'll be flying, though.
Yeah. How do you think going to boarding school and being away from family kind of made you grow as a person, made you grow in life and I guess on the field at all?
I would definitely say it makes you more independent. You know, being on your own, you know, at Taft, you got to wake up on your own. You got to get to class on your own. You got to eat breakfast on your own. You got to have time management. So things like that have definitely helped me. I would say feel more organized as an 18-year-old, about to be 19. Things like that. And then football wise, you know, our league is it's a different league. Probably one of the best, if not the best in, you know, New England. We play against kids who go, you know, from Clemson all the way down to Nebraska, you know, Iowa, BC, you know, a bunch of Power Five schools. And, you know, kids are dogs and, you know, you got to bring it every Saturday because teams will beat you. And our season isn't like every other school's, you know, public school seasons where you play, you know, 12 games, you know, you got 8 games. And if you drop one, it's going to be hard for you to make a bowl game. So every game matters.
Yeah. One quick one before I let you go here. There was some news today. Saeed Khalif, who is the director of player personnel at Wisconsin, is leaving and going to Michigan State. How much did he play into your recruitment? How big of a factor was he in your decision to come to Wisconsin or just in getting to know about Wisconsin?
Coach Khalif was actually a big part of my recruitment. I'll never forget it. I was actually getting my tattoo and I had my Zoom meeting with Wisconsin and, you know, he ran it with my parents and I was literally in the tattoo chair, you know, on the Zoom meeting. You know, Coach Khalif is my guy. You know, I did hear the news that he's going out to Michigan State, but you know, he'll always, you know, I'll definitely hit him up at some point. You know, but he definitely played a big part in my recruitment to Wisconsin.
Hey, Skylar, certainly appreciate your time and good luck and looking forward to getting here in Madison and meeting you in person.
Yep. Thank you. No problem.
All right. There he is, Skylar Bell. All right. And that was Skylar Bell. I appreciate him jumping on and taking some time to talk with us as he is excited to get into Madison. I know, Jesse, you talked to him and it was kind of a situation where, he didn't get to go into the football offices. He had to come in and just look over the campus because it was an unofficial visit. It was still during COVID and couldn't actually speak with the coaches. But he did have a chance to talk with Eric Brell, right? Like he had lunch with him and was able to kind of get a feel for what the football program is about a little bit without being able to meet the coaches.
Yeah, his situation is interesting because he didn't get a senior year. With COVID. So when he comes in, it'll be 2 years since he's actually played. But I think a lot of receivers, especially out-of-state guys, they have some concerns about, will I be utilized in the passing game at Wisconsin? And his high school coach told me that too, that initially it was, coach, they run the ball 40 times a game. Am I going to catch any passes? But the more that he looked into it and the more that he talked to players, and certainly having someone like Graham Mertz really appealed to him. And I think he can be a downfield threat for the future. I don't know how quickly it's going to come, But Alvis Whitted deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do in that class to not only get him, but to get Marcus Allen as well. Because Ted Gilmore, there when he left, there was nothing doing in the wide receiver room in terms of recruits and commitments. So I think, you know, Whitted deserves a lot of credit to get Bell and Allen.
Yeah, it's an interesting duo, I'll say that. And it's an interesting room considering some of the experience that's coming back along with some of the younger guys that people are excited about, plus adding those two guys into it. There's talent in there. It's just a matter of who all is going to get on the field. But it's built well for this year, but I think those two guys along with Chimray Dike and you know, some of Devin Chandler, some of the younger guys, I think it's built well for the future as well. So we'll see how it plays out. Jesse, thank you very much. We'll catch up soon, hopefully, as we get closer and closer to Big Ten media days and then into fall camp.
Sounds great. Thanks, Zach.
All right, there he is, Jesse Temple. Until next time, you've been listening to The Camp here on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.